There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parashas Lech Lecha, Tav Shin Pei Vav. 1 week before the special Shabbos project. But of course, every Shabbos is an incredible, incredible Shabbos project. An amazing opportunity to come close, to feel our relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to strengthen and work on our desire to become closer, to become more connected to Torah and the beautiful things that every parsha has to offer. Thank you so much for making the time to be with us, to be part of our show today. We really, really appreciate it. And I hope I daven every single week that Be'ez Hashem, we should get some chizuk, we should get some encouragement to make this Shabbos a special Shabbos, and hopefully to enrich our lives even beyond the Shabbos. Of course, as always, the program today is brought to you as a Lefu Shlema for many, many Chodim. Just a few to name: Tinek Ben Gila, Yehuda Hillel Halevi Ben Shalamis Lea, Menachem Ruven Ben Pesa Yehudis, Yosef Yitzchak Ben Bela, Akava Bas Libamina, Benyamina Bas Yenta, Devora Simcha Bas Rezel, and Shalamis Lea Bas Osna, B'seich Shor Chol Yisrael, both here and locally, all those who are needing a little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, a little bit of a caress, a little bit of something to make their lives better than what it is. We all are trying to make our lives better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help all those who are Netzrochim, all those who are needing some little bit of a divine kiss to be able to get it. So this week, of course, is Parshas Lech Lecha. And of course, the parsha begins, Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Hashem speaks to Avram the first time, and he says to him, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, for your own benefit, me'artzacha, from your land, umimoladzacha, from your birthplace, umibeis avicha, from your whole family structure, leave everything behind, ela oretz asher areka, to the land that the Parsha translation is that I will show you. The Meshech Chochmah wants to learn a little bit different. He actually says that the word Areka means the land where I am going to show you to others, where others are going to see the true development and flowering of the koiches, of the abilities, of the incredible energy that Avram had in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in bringing others closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash, there in the Medrash Rabbah, says, Amar Rav Yochanan, says Rav Yochanan, Lama lo gila lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal to Avram, La'eze Eretz Aleches, to which land he was going to go? And he answers, number one, Kidei Lechava Vabeinav, to make it more precious, more dear. I don't know what it is. It's unknown. It's exciting. It's appealing. It's somehow very, very special. And the litain like sachar, to give him reward, al kol psio psio, for every single step that he would take, a step that he didn't know he was going, but I'm going to go one step closer, and another step, and another, and another. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going on, but Hashem has told me to go. I'm going. Every single step, bring him closer to whatever the destination was, which he didn't know, and he would get reward for every single step that he took. Seems from what the Medrash is saying that the reason for this, that by Avraham Avinu would get reward for every single step that he took, it seems only because he didn't exactly know where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to tell him to go. And this, of course, seems very, very difficult. Why would getting reward be dependent on the fact that he didn't know to which way, which direction he was going, which what was his final destination. The truth is, for every single action, for every single mitzvah activity that a person does, anytime you fulfill anything Hashem tells you to do, Hashem gives a person reward for that. Right? As in fact the Gemara says that there was a certain widow, one Saita, that came to Daven. Every single day she came to Daven in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan said to her, says, my daughter, is there no Beis Medrash, no Beis Knesses closer to where you live, in your neighborhood? She said to him, even though there is a shul, there is a Beis Knesses much closer to where I live. But I want to go to a shul that's actually further in order to get more rewards for more steps of walking to the shul. Fortunately, this is something that we see so often, that people who live in one neighborhood and maybe have a shul near them or several shuls near them will walk to many other shuls. Says Rabbi Yochanan to her, we've learned from here that there is we learned from this widow, the ability to do everything we do gives us reward. And Rashi says over there, we see that when a person puts himself out and bothers himself to do a little bit more of a mitzvah, he gets more reward. We're going to explore this further in a minute. This is 101.9 High FM. The program is Souls with Soul. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM, this is Soul to Soul on your radio, back on your radio, on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Lech Lecha Tov Shin Pei Vav. We are dealing with the fact that Avraham Avinu was not told exactly where he was going to go. It was to the land that I will show you. And the Medrash brings, name of Yochanan, that what was the purpose of not revealing to him his destination was so that he would get reward for every single step that he took. And the obvious question is, well, why would he only get reward because he didn't know what his destination was? If he had known what the destination and he had still faithfully followed the instruction and traveled to that place, why wouldn't you also get reward? We know that for every single thing a Jew does. In fact, we brought a little vignette from the Gemara about this woman who wanted to pray and specifically walk to a further away shul to daven so that she can get extra rewards for the steps. So therefore, the question is, you have to understand, why does the Medrash say that Avraham Avinu received a reward for all the steps he took? Because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to which land he was going. Even if he knew exactly where he was going, that he has to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, he still would have gotten reward for every single step that he took. As with any other mitzvah that a person puts effort into and goes and performs. Rashi explains in a similar way something we find also in a Gemara in Maseches Kedushin on page Mem Aleph, where the Gemara says, Mitzvah boi yoitze mishluchai. It's a greater mitzvah for a person to do a mitzvah himself rather than appoint an agent to do the mitzvah for him. There are many mitzvahs that you can do. You can appoint someone to do them on your behalf, and it will be considered as if you did the mitzvah. But nevertheless, it's a bigger thing for you yourself to do the mitzvah. And the concept over there is that, says Rashi, that he also gufay b'mitzvahs. The fact that I'm involving my body and putting my body through the rigors of whatever it might be to fulfill the mitzvah, mekabel schar etzveh. You get a greater degree of reward if you yourself physically are involved actually in doing a mitzvah. So again, the implication of what Rashi is saying is that in spite of the fact that the mitzvah would be fulfilled, even if you appointed a messenger to do it, and it will be fulfilled just as well through the offices of a messenger. But nevertheless, still, when you do it yourself, you get a greater degree of rewards. And to understand a little, what does it mean you're going to get more reward if you do it yourself? So we can explain that perhaps, again, quoting another comment of Rashi in last week's Parsha, in Parshat Noach, on the Pasuk where it says, Vayikach Shem Vayefet Esav Simla. After Noach had emerged from the flood and he planted a vineyard and unfortunately became a bit drunk and had sort of revealed himself. So it says, Vayikach Shem Vayefet Esav Simla. Ham went in and did whatever he did and reported to his brothers the situation of his father. And in reaction, it says, Vayikach Shem Vayefes Esav Simla. Shem and Yefes, the two other sons of Noach, took a garment, took a blanket, Vayosimu al Shem Shnehem, and they put it over their shoulders, Vayochu Achoranis, and they walked in backwards that they would not, God forbid, see their father in a compromised state. Now, it doesn't say they took, even though they were doing the act together. It says, Vayikach, he took. It should have said, they took. And Medrash says, this teaches us that Shem, the son of Noach, made a greater effort in the mitzvah more than his brother Yefes. And therefore, the descendants of Shem were merited that they received the special mitzvah of wearing a talit, of wearing tzitzit on their garments. And Rashi seems to clarify that there's a special reward for a person making a slightly greater effort to fulfill a mitzvah. And therefore we have to say that this is the reason for this idiom of the mitzvah is greater if it's done by the person himself more than with the agent. Because a person, when he does the effort by himself and he actually puts his own body, his own strength, his own sort of ability on the line to do the mitzvah, see, he tries a little bit harder, he puts a little bit more effort into the mitzvah, and therefore he gets more reward. So it comes out, therefore, that Rashi, the different comments of Rashi seem to work beautifully together. Because the Rashi I'll be quoted from the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to dovetail very nicely with what we learned from the Gemara in Masechet Sota. And it also goes very nicely with the explanation of what he says on the Torah. And the sort of the fundamental principle of it all is, it's one idea, that the more that a person makes a greater effort, puts more energy, more time, more power into fulfilling any kind of mitzvah, his reward is going to be greater. And therefore, it's appropriate for a person to put in an effort, to make as much of an opportunity he has, even if it's to take more steps, to walk a bit further, to do something extra at every single mitzvah. And that is actually appropriate to do when fulfilling any mitzvah, to do it by yourself. Because when you do it yourself, so then you are making a greater effort, and therefore you're going to get a larger mitzvah, and therefore more reward for the mitzvah. But that still begs the question. The question being, okay, we understand that every time a person chooses to do a mitzvah himself, or a person tries to put a little bit of extra effort into the mitzvah, as we see by Shem, he's going to get a great, great reward. But what was the lesson that we're being taught by the fact that Avraham Avinu was not told where he was going so that he could get reward for every single step he took? It doesn't make a difference. Even if he knew where he was going, still, the reward would be great for every step he took in observance, in adherence to the command and the instruction of Hashem, that in itself would merit him tremendous, tremendous rewards. So the truth is, when we talk about this whole concept of getting reward for extra steps, so there's actually a huge argument about this whole concept, as we're going to see. The Maral, when he explains to us this concept of getting reward for every step that he takes in his Sefer Nesivos Olam, so he says over there that he brings another medrash, a medrash actually in Mishlei, and it says as follows: it once happened with a certain a woman that she became very, very elderly, and she came in front of Rav Yossi Bar Chalavta, and she said to him, "Rebbe, I'm very, very old, and from at this point, so my life really isn't worth very much to me. I can't taste any food. I can't even drink so much, and I actually want to die. There's no further purpose for me to live in this world. I'm getting no benefit, no enjoyment from being in this world. And therefore, I would like to actually leave the world." So Yosef Bar Chalavta said to her, says, "My woman, you're such an old woman. What did you do? What was your merit that you managed to live so long?" So she answered him, and she said, "I was trained, I learned that even if there's something very, very dear, very precious that I wanted to do, that I wanted to be involved in, I would leave it and I would get up early and go to shul every single day." So Rav Yossi said to her, "Fine, do me a favor, don't go to shul for 3 days consecutively." And she went and she fulfilled Rav Yossi's dictum, and she didn't go to shul, and on the third day she fell ill and she passed away. We'll digest the story in a moment. This is 101.9 High FM, program of Soul to Soul. Please stay with us. We're just getting started. Heeds what I say.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM, this is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pashas Lech Lecha Tov Shin Pei Vav. We are talking about taking extra steps. And we just told the story of this woman who had a very long life and wanted to die. And when the Rebbe asked her how she lived so long, she said she went to shul every single day. So he told her, stay home for 3 days. And she did, and unfortunately, she was nifta. She passed away. The Midrash concludes, and this is why the pasuk, the verse in Mishlei, says, Ashrei Adam Shemeali. How fortunate, how growth-oriented is the person who listens to me, who heeds me. Lishkoit al dalsei sai, to consistently come and visit my doors, dalsei sai. So it says, it doesn't, and what does it say afterwards? The very next verse, it says, ki moitzi'i moitzachayim, because those who find me, says Hashem, have found true life. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person went to daven in the shul, so when you come to the shul, don't stand in the antechamber. Don't stand inside the outer door. But rather, come right in into the inner sanctum. How do you know? Because it says, my doors. Don't just go in through one door. Go through two doors. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu then will give you extra reward for the extra few steps you take. You should actually go all the way into shul. And the Maral adds on to this. You'll see that We don't find such a halacha by any other mitzvah, by sukkah, that if you set up two sukkahs, one closer and one further, you shouldn't go to the close one, go specifically to the further one. We don't have such a halacha because you're going to get extra reward for walking. No, it's only the Beis Knesses. And the Beis Knesses, the shul, because the shul has the status of being a mikdash ma'at, a small sanctuary. And therefore, Hashem is found there in the shul. And therefore, when a person goes to the Beis Knesses, so he's drawn, he comes closer, he's attracted to Hashem, and to have a greater connection to Hashem. He says, and it's well known that a person, when a person is in shul and he shakes a little bit, that he gets his body involved in the tefillah, so that is a tremendous, tremendous act of connection, right? More than someone who just sort of stands still. Because when a person really, really wants something, so then he doesn't just it's something he doesn't have yet, and yet he wants to strive for it. He wants to get to it, and that creates a tremendous connection, a tremendous closeness to that item, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts the steps of a person who goes to shul, because even one extra step to go a little bit further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts that. Why? Because everything is based on the amount of effort, the amount of movement that shows greater connection and greater dveikut, greater connectivity between ourselves and God. Because if a person goes further, so that shows, that indicates he has a greater love and a greater desire for connection with Hashem. And therefore, that's why he's going a further distance to do the mitzvah. And that's what it says, Ki moitzi moitza chayim. When you find me, when you come to me, you'll find true life. Because when a person has connection to Hashem, and we know it says, Va'atem ha-dveikim Hashem elokechem, when you have connection to Hashem, your God, chayim kulchem hayim, then you experience true life. Because connection is called, that's real life. And then a person gets all the blessings, as the pasuk carries on, it says, "The yafek rotzon mehashem." You'll get all kinds of wonderful, desirable things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see from the words of the Maral that the concept of schar for extra steps is specifically in one's traveling, in one's going to a Beit Knesset, to a place of prayer, or to a Beit Midrash, to a place of studying Torah. And that's because, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly found in a shul and a Beis Medrash, so by walking there, you're showing a greater desire, a greater want to be close to that Shekhinah, to that Divine Presence, to Hashem Himself that's there. And not necessarily like Rashi says, that it's because you're making a greater effort in the act of the mitzvah, because that really applies to all mitzvahs, but this is specifically as connection to a person going to shul. So that's the opinion of the Maral, that this extra steps recipe for getting extra reward is specific to a person going to shul. Not everyone agrees. Rabbeinu Bachaya explains in Mishnah Pirkei Avos, where it says in Perkei Mishnah Yiches, it says, Arba midas b'cholche beis medrash. There are four different types of people who are attracted to go to learn in a beis medrash. Says one person, ha'cholech, the person goes to the beis medrash. But when he's there, he's not productive at all. So then he gets rewards for going there. In other words, that even though he didn't actually learn anything in the beis medrash, he still gets reward for having walked there. The very fact that he raised his feet and walked to the Beis HaMedrash, he already gets reward. And he brings a quote, a medrash, a mechilta, on a pasuk in Parshat Bo, where it says, "Vayelchu vayasu bnei Yisrael." After Moshe Rabbeinu had given them all the commandments about how they were going to perform the Paschal sacrifice, the Korban Pesach, in Mitzrayim, take the god of the Egyptians and tie it to a bed, and then you would shecht it. So it says, "Vayelchu vayasu bnei Yisrael." The bnei Yisrael went, and they did. And Rashi said they received rewards for the going alone, and separate reward for the actual performance. It says, "Vayelchu," they went, "Vayasu," and they did. There was reward for the going and reward for the doing. And it seems clear from what he's saying that he holds, as Rashi we quoted above, that the reward of extra steps applies to every single mitzvah, because he's learning the concept of extra reward from the pasuk of the Jewish nation getting ready to shech the Paschal sacrifice. You're talking about the Korban Pesach. We're not talking about going to a Beis Medrash. And nevertheless, we see clearly that there was reward for the extra steps. And therefore, we see, according to him, that by every mitzvah that a person fulfills, it's absolutely appropriate that he should go as long a way as necessary to even have extra steps to fulfill the mitzvah, because by more steps, you're going to get more reward and bring more honor to the mitzvah. Right? And according to the Maral, who the concept of the extra bother only seems to go by going to shul and not by other mitzvahs. So you have to understand, according to him, what is this concept of mitzvah? We said before, of mitzvah boy yoseh mishluchai. There's a greater mitzvah, for a greater reason for you to do a mitzvah more than your effort. How do you understand that? So there's a beautiful comment of the Chida in the Sefer Shiurei Bracha. He explains there the reason for the mitzvah of mitzvah boy. He says that when a person is able to fulfill a mitzvah by himself, and instead of doing it himself, he gets others to do it for him, so he shows a little bit of a lack of importance. He kind of downgrades the mitzvah in his own mind. Oh, this is not worth me actually making an effort. I'll get someone else to do it. Because he shows that it's not so important in his eyes that he should actually put himself out and bother himself to do the mitzvah. So therefore, according to the Maral, we now can understand this question a little bit, because according to the Maral's opinion, the reward for extra steps applies only, as we said, when he's going to a shul or a bet midrash. And therefore, Avram Avinu wouldn't have gotten, Avram wouldn't have gotten extra reward for going to Eretz Yisrael if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had actually revealed to him from the beginning where he was going to go, because that was any other mitzvah. According to Maral, there's no extra reward for extra steps when you're going to another mitzvah. However, according to Rashi, right? So then the question is still remains, because according to Rashi, the reward of extra steps applies to every single mitzvah. So how come Avram only got schar because he didn't know about where in fact he was going? So perhaps we can get a handle on this whole concept by learning something that the stipler, the great Stipler Gaon of Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. So besides his incredible Sforim on the Gemara, he wrote a Sefer on Chumash called Birchatz Peretz. And he says there that it was a tremendous, tremendous test for Avram to follow this command of Hashem without knowing where he was going. Because we know it's very, very difficult for a person to go somewhere and put effort. Traveling was not easy without even knowing where his steps are sort of leading him and where the next step is going to be. And nevertheless, Avraham Avinu strengthened himself and he went one step after another based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him until he brought him to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we can now make some sense. We can answer what Chazal said, that he was going to get reward for every single step that he took. Because the intention is not necessarily a reward for the normal steps, but to give him reward for every single step that he was going without knowing where the steps are leading him. And he's hoping every moment, okay, maybe now I'll find out. Maybe now I'll find out. Every second is a question in his mind. Oh, okay, maybe I'm going to start finally find the answer to the riddle and know where I'm going. And we can see from here how incredibly important it is that in every single additional bit of effort that a person makes in order to fulfill a mitzvah, that shows a deference, it shows an honor, it shows a covet for the mitzvah, and it shows how precious the mitzvah is in our eyes that we're prepared to make an effort to fulfill it. And the sort of the enormity of the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to pay for every single effort, the small effort that we make for every mitzvah, we can learn from an interesting Gemara again in Saita, this time on Daf Memvav, where the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, says Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Bishvil Arba Psias, for four, on account of four steps, Sheliva Paroi Es Avram, that when Paro kicked Avram out of Mitzrayim after he had kidnapped his wife, he took four steps in deference to Avram to accompany him on his way. Nishtabed bebonav arba meyashana. Paro was given the zchus, the merit, the privilege of enslaving Avram's children, the Jewish nation, for 400 years. Four steps equals 400 years. As it says, the avodum v'inu esam arba meyashana. They're going to be able to enslave them and make them suffer for 400 years. And we learn that even for this very, very small action of four steps, right, that already got him a tremendous, tremendous reward of sort of being able to dominate the Jewish nation for 400 years. And we know the famous story with the wife of the Vilna Gaon, that she had a custom to go with her friend to gather tzedakah money for poor people. And they made an agreement between them that whoever would leave this world first would come to the other one after she was nifter to tell her what happens in the upper world. And that's what happened. The friend of the Goyen's wife passed away first from this world. And she came to the wife of the Goyen and she said to her that one time when they were going together at Stockholm, so while they were walking, she says, I lifted up my hand to show you the house of a particular wealthy person, that we should go to ask him for some tzedakah. And do you know that for the fact that we were walking together to get tzedakah, the two of us together, well, of course we're going to get tzedakah. But in addition to that, the fact that I lifted up my hand while we were walking to show you the house of that wealthy person, I received a special reward that you can't even begin to understand how great and how amazing that reward was. And this teaches us that even for the smallest activity, the smallest effort that we make, is a tremendous, tremendous reward in the next world. And we're not going to lose, not one action we're going to make is going to be lost or ignored. And for every single effort of a mitzvah we make, even the smallest one, is going to be a tremendous, tremendous amount of reward for all of us. So too, it's absolutely so clear that the Rav Dessler writes in Michtav Eliyahu, and he writes there that this principle applies even on a little extra pain, on something that puts you out a little bit. Because in Shamayim, in heaven, they give importance even with a little bit of effort, a little bit of a twang or something that a person has to go through, that gets tremendous reward. And he quotes a Gemara in Erchin on page Tezayin 16, he says, how far, was it, Ad Heichan Taklis Yisurim, how far does the suffering go in this world? He says, even if a person puts his hand into his pocket and he needs to pull out a certain coin, and instead, he needs three coins, he says, and instead he only pulls out two, and therefore he's going to have to put his hand back into his pocket to get a third coin. Even that little bit of bother, the extra effort of putting your hand into your pocket, you'll get rewarded on. Because the truth is that the reward for a mitzvah, when it's done with a little bit of extra effort, is 100 times greater than when it's done without effort at all. And if you put a little bit of extra, that's not a big deal, put your hand in your pocket, but a little bit of extra that you do in putting in a mitzvah, the reward is magnified. It's doubled 100 times, he says, right? Which is perhaps even 100 times on, even 10,000 times greater. Because this calculation is applied to every single level of pain, of discomfort, of extra that a person goes through. So too that if a person has to go through a great deal of pain or suffering to do a mitzvah, that's going to double the reward thousands and thousands of times more than doing the mitzvah without that kind of pain. Because for each level of effort that one puts in, the reward grows. Comes out, therefore, that the value of a mitzvah, when a person actually puts a tremendous, tremendous effort, and even it, you know, hurts a little bit to do it, and yet we still do the mitzvah, can be, it's incalculable how much greater the reward is going to be than he just does the mitzvah. And therefore, don't let ever a person, us, don't let us say to ourselves, I've done the mitzvah, I'm yaitza, I'm finished. I've already sort of fulfilled my obligation. Because as far as Shemayim is concerned, every single thing is very, very exact. And therefore, the more a person makes an effort to put a little extra energy, to invest in a mitzvah, even if it's just the smallest amount, the dividends and the payment back for that is absolutely amazing. This is 101.9. Chai FM, the program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slots.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Lech Lecha Tov Shin Pei Vav. Another amazing, amazing Erev Shabbos is Baruch Hashem. We're getting ready, hopefully, for a beautiful, beautiful time together, a beautiful time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our families. As we always do at this point on the show, just to give you the important times and details you need for this coming Shabbos. So it goes as follows. This afternoon, the earliest time for you to get your candles on, to get Shabbos started and rolling into your home, is at 5:02. 5:02, You can already light those candles. It's already starting to get a little bit darker. It's already what we call plug. It's halfway to sunset, and that certainly is a good time to get the house all ready, get yourselves all ready, get the food on the hakshe, whatever it is, and actually just take a break. Light the candles, usher Shabbos into your home, and just completely deflate. Allow yourself to just simmer down, forget all the worries of the week, forget all the trials and tribulations and the tests that you've had. Now it's Shabbos. Now it's my day to just be alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be alone with my family, with my kids, to actually communicate with them, to talk to them. You know, next Shabbos, please God, is the famous Shabbos project. We'll talk more about that, of course, next week. But every Shabbos is an amazing, amazing opportunity for us to really, really get together and connect with our kids. So 5:02 is the earliest time. If you can't make that, well, whatever you can. 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, half an hour later, still great. The latest time for benching licht in all of our homes is at 6:06. 6 minutes past six is the absolute latest time for getting our candles on. That means it's the deadline. That means at that time, like it or not, Shabbos comes into your house. Yes, I know there's another 18 minutes or so until sunset, but as by now you've been listening to the show long enough, you know that time is only emergency time. Only, God forbid, if there's a sort of a crisis and you need extra time, it's like you're not, God forbid, going to break Shabbos, then you have those 18 minutes. But as far as we're concerned, 6:06 is the absolute deadline. As I say, really by then, men should be in shul so they can daven mincha together with the community. And women should be all sort of simmer down and dressed for Shabbos and the candles lit and everything sort of in its place. And you can really, really just relax a bit. Take a book. Take a sefer. Take a tehillim. Take a child. And really spend the time meaningfully and productively. I mean, yes, I know you'll probably take a book and you'll end up sort of having a dremel at the same time. But that's also fine. No problem at all. Sunset is at 6:24. 6:24 is sunset this afternoon. And therefore, if you want to make sure that you are davening Ma'ariv already after night and don't have to repeat Krishna, all you have to do is wait until 6:42. 6:42 is already certainly night, and you can then sort of really say Shema if you're in shul or at home, whatever, and then have a beautiful, beautiful evening together with the family, a beautiful Suda, a beautiful Shabbos meal, some good Zemira, some good Divrei Torah, some good conversation. You know what the word means? Right? Talk to each other. Speak about the week. Speak about your events, your experiences, your feelings, and what you learned from people, from events, from books, whatever it may be. Share it with the entire family. Tomorrow, of course, is Parshas Lech Lecha, third Parsha of the Torah. We begin the life of Avram Avinu, and we learned quite a lot about him, as we discussed already in the previous posts. And there's a special Haftarah that goes together with Parshas Lech Lecha. And then the Shabbos carries on. It's a beautiful Shabbos, definitely getting longer. And Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night only at 6:57, 3 minutes before 7 o'clock. Shabbos is over, so we got a long day. Yeah, and you want to have a good meal, you want to have a good shlof, absolutely. But please, spend some time also with a sefer, learning something. Increasing your intelligence, increasing your knowledge, increasing your understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His vast and awesome Torah. We are dealing with electricity on Shabbos, and we're talking specifically now about electrical appliances that produce sounds, such as, let's say, telephones and microphones and things along those lines. So we already saw last week that the prohibition on using electrical appliances on Shabbos includes also things like microphones and telephones. So even if a phone sort of is in use before Shabbos, or if, let's say, a microphone is already turned on before Shabbos, one may not speak on a phone or use a microphone on Shabbos, because doing so actually increases the electric current running through it and actually violates an issur d'oraisa, a Torah, perhaps a rabbinic a prohibition. In addition, Chazal, our sages, banned any kind of what's called hashmoas koil, producing a sound with an object specifically designed for this purpose. And in fact, many maintain that one who speaks into a microphone transgresses this prohibition. That seems to be the opinion of the Ramah. Furthermore, using, let's say, a microphone definitely resembles a weekday activity. It also may seem definitely to show a lack of respect, to be belittling the Shabbos. Whereas those who hear the loud, the amplified sounds are likely to think that the microphone was activated on Shabbos, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chas v'Shalom, that people should think that you broke Shabbos by putting on the mic on Shabbos itself. Right? Nevertheless, one who sort of has a hearing problem, let's say someone is hard of hearing, so he's allowed to use an electric hearing aid that sort of rests on or inside the ear on Shabbos, as long as it is turned on before Shabbos, and he doesn't adjust the volume on Shabbos. When he wants to go to sleep, he should sort of remove the device without actually shutting it off. Now today, of course, hearing aids are more sophisticated. They now, you know, you put them into a thing, and they charge by themselves. So one needs to ask a Rav how to do it. Is it possible to have it turned on with a time switch so that it goes on by itself and charges it at night? Possibly, but again, speak to your Rav about the nuances of how that's going to work. And of course, in the morning, then you can put it back in without turning it on. It's already on. Now, although we said that one may not use a microphone or a telephone because speaking into it increases the electric current, so the prohibition applies only when someone speaks directly into them. However, when speaking sort of normally, so the activation of the device in the wearer's ear is considered a secondary, and therefore a form of grum of indirect causality, which is permitted where truly, truly necessary, which of course for a person that needs that to be able to hear, definitely, definitely is so. Furthermore, there's no sort of problem of producing sound on Shabbos or belittling Shabbos, since the sound is heard only by the person wearing the hearing aid. Okay, we're going to come back in a moment with a few more closing comments. In the meantime, this is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9, this is Soul to Soul, back on the radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Lech Lecha Tovshin Pei Vav. We are talking about electricity on Shabbos. We're talking about using telephones, microphones, things along those lines. So just as one may not turn on a microphone before Shabbos with the intention of using it on Shabbos, so too leaving on, let's say, an intercom over Shabbos in order to sort of hear the voices of people come to visit or to hear what's going on in, I don't know, in the kids' room. That's us. To be sure, if one simply speaks normally in the room and not directly into the intercom, the prohibition is less severe, since it's only then a case of grum, of indirect. But nevertheless, it's prohibited because it is a weekday activity, and it really belittles Shabbos, and it produces sounds with an object designed for that purpose. However, if the intercom was accidentally left on of a Shabbos, as long as one does not intend to use it, he may speak in a normal fashion in the room where the intercom is on, and that would be allowed because you're not intending to use it. What about things like lifts? So the halacha says one may not operate a lift on Shabbos. Pressing the lift buttons involves mamish Torah prohibitions, or at least a rabbinic prohibition. However, we have these Shabbos lifts. They're set to sort of operate automatically, meaning that they are set before Shabbos to stop on every single floor or every other floor, at which point the doors open on their own for a person who knew, for a sort of a predetermined amount of time, and then close on their own. So the lift then continues on its way. So there's a difference of opinion amongst the poskim regarding these types of lifts. Some poskim prohibit using a Shabbos lift, maintaining that using it is a weekday activity. Additionally, entering the lift causes its motor to use more electricity when the lift goes up and down. Chelkas Yaakov says that, and Weiss also, right? However, others argue, right? They say that no, one may go up in a Shabbos lift, but not down. That's because when the lift goes down, the extra weight helps produce electricity. So thus, one who rides the lift has a hand in sort of generating the electricity on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Please God, we'll talk a bit further about this in next week's show. I just want to wish you all an amazing, amazing Shabbos. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being part of our radio family. And to each and every one of you, a benched, a beautiful, warm, and sort of really, really productive, good Shabbos. Kol tov.